Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. And wherever you're listening right now, we hope you lean in, listen closely, and learn a lot. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, dear friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and I'm so glad that you've carved out time to meet with Bobby and I to talk about something that's extraordinarily important to me, and that's the new book that I wrote entitled Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust. And we're here to talk about it a little bit, and I hope that you'll get it and read it, and I hope that it will bless you, and that you will find hope in this dark and sinful world. There's a lot of parallels happening right now, actually, between the Holocaust period before, during, and you see it in various places. I was recently in England, and I went out to eat with a pastor in the city of Bath. And yes, Jane Austen's hometown, maybe, or at least she lived there for a while. And we went out to eat, and on my way there, I saw a Jewish star, and in the middle of it, it said Free Gaza, and it was all in red. Now, I would like to set Gazans free, because if you believe in Jesus, you will be set free, John chapter 8. And so we do want Gazans to be free. But this was not a political statement. It was an anti-Israel, anti-Jewish statement. And you see that little sign in all sorts of places. There are not that many Jewish people in Bath. And so I think that people were making a statement. And so it's been testy. There have been Jewish people murdered in synagogues or in front of synagogues in the UK. There was a Jewish young man who was beat up almost within an inch of his life in the UK. And you're just starting to see some of these overt attempts to persecute and physically harm Jewish people. And some people say, well, it's because we're opposed to Israel. Then why are you in England doing these things? And why are you in the U.S. doing these things? And why are you in modern Germany and doing these things? And so we do see the rise of anti-Semitism. And that's the environment that was happening when the Nazis began to produce what we call the final solution. So it started with persecution. And then it ended with annihilation or an attempt at annihilation. And so we're living in very difficult times. And so I hope that if you get hold of the book, you'll see that even in the worst of times, God is working in power. And last week I shared that I grew up with pictures of my relatives who had passed away because of the Holocaust. They were murdered by the Nazis. And I was driven to find out whether or not they had heard about Jesus. Don't ask me where I was going to look because there was no book on it at that point. And so I didn't even know where to start. So I enrolled in a PhD program because I felt that at least they would keep my feet to the fire and help me discover answers to these questions. And it did. And I'm going to share some of those answers with you today. So with me is Bobby Walter, the leader of Chosen People in New York City. Welcome, Bobby. Glad to have you with us.
As always, Mitch, thank you. Shalom to you and shalom to all of our listeners, viewers. And, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing more about the book, The Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust. And I will encourage you, if you did not hear or listen to last week's episode, I strongly encourage you to go check it out because it's a powerful account, powerful story that Mitch shared about what was driving him to dive into this research and produce this, again, just very timely book for us. So check that out, chosenpeople.com/radio. You can find it or go onto our YouTube channel. Just look up Chosen People US on YouTube for more information.
All righty. Any questions for me, Bobby?
Yes.
That would help me tell the story.
Yes, Mitch. Okay. So as you were doing the research and being driven again by this desire to know, did your relatives who perished in the Holocaust, did they ever get a chance to hear the gospel? So when you were doing this research, what surprised you most in what you found?
That they did.
Okay. Well, good.
I just was not expecting it.
Yeah.
And so I began with a few different books. There was a book about Jewish evangelism and Jewish missions in the 19th century, entitled The Golden Century of Jewish Missions. And it was all about how God worked throughout the 19th century, reaching Jewish people with the gospel. And when I read that, I was so encouraged mm-hmm. to see that through it all, God was faithful and started mission agencies like Chosen People Ministries that reached Jewish people. In fact, Chosen People was founded in the 19th century.
That's right.
So we were 1894.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured that if God had done that great work in the 19th century, maybe he would have done it in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began, like all ambitious PhD research people, with a topic too big.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I was going to do the whole 20th century, and I was going to do all the countries across the globe. And my wonderful mentor, Dr. Arthur Glasser, one of the great missionary statesmen of the 20th century, grabbed hold of me and said, "No, you're not." And so I trimmed it. And so it became a survey of Jewish missions in the 20th century. Then it became a survey of Jewish missions in continental Europe in the 20th century. And then it became a survey of Jewish missions in continental Europe between 1900 and 1950. And so it kept narrowing. And I'm so glad that I had great guidance mm-hmm. from Dr. Glasser. I began reading a lot of mission manuals. I mean, you probably get the Chosen People newsletter. Believe me, we're not the first ones that thought about producing a newsletter for our wonderful prayer partners and constituents who care about what we do and love the Jewish people and want to read about it.
Right.
And so I began looking in various libraries all over the place, trying to find these missionary reports mm-hmm. that would talk about it. And there were volumes of them.
Mm.
Volumes of them. I couldn't believe how much I found. And so I began reading these wonderful reports and found out that there was just a spectacular work among the Jewish people.
Wow.
And can I give you an example?
Please do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me take you back historically just for a little bit because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You need a little fun with a topic like this. Okay. But it's good. Good fun. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that ended up becoming the Scottish Revival. It began in 1841.
Mm.
I know you weren't there, nor was I. And so in 1841, there was a team of Scottish ministers, including Andrew Bonar and Robert Murray McShane, who has written some wonderful hymns, and some people might know those names, and a few other ministers of the Church of Scotland. They decided, because they read Romans 11:11, which says, "They did not stumble so as to fall, may it never be, but by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them," what?
Jealous.
Jealous.
Yeah.
And so they believed that that was God's call on the church.
Mm.
And so there was a lot of spiritual activity in Scotland at that time. So one wonderful woman gave, I think, 100 Scottish pounds and said, "Go find the Jewish people." And so they went all over the globe, and it took almost a year, and they ended up in Hungary. And there was a massive number of Jewish people, almost a million Jewish people, in the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Wow.
And so they decided that maybe this would be a good place to start the work. And as they were trying to decide, one of their fellow ministers was sick, and he had to be cared for. And so there was a Protestant queen. It was a Catholic country.
Mm-hmm.
Protestant queen who cared for this minister, Reverend Black. And it took a long time. So the other ministers went back, told the Church of Scotland what happened, and the Church of Scotland said, "This is it. We've got to go out and reach the Jewish people. And I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of signs of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit."
Mm.
One of the signs of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the reading of the Bible.
Hmm.
People go back to reading the Bible. A second one is the creation of new worship music.
Yeah.
And that's a great sign. That's why Luther took bar songs mm-hmm. and turned them into hymns. And that's why John Wesley we know, but Charles Wesley wrote hymns, his brother. And then, of course, in my generation, we had Love Song and Chuck Gerrard and even Bob Dylan at times. And so music really captures the heart of an outpouring of the Spirit. But the third thing is mission. Mm. Mission. People understand that they need to take the gift that God's given to them and pass it along to others. And very much so in a variety of these outpourings, reaching Jewish people was also a sign of an outpouring of the Spirit, because what is mission if you don't reach the Jewish people? Because Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation for all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so Jewish mission has always been a part of the outpouring of the Spirit. In fact, in the early to mid 1800s, the Moravian movement, led by Count Zinzendorf, the Moravian movement, which really began the modern missions movement. They sent ships of missionaries to Africa and other places. Mm-hmm. It was really the start of modern missions. But Count Zinzendorf taught that they should reach Jewish people first. And so throughout Prussia and Germany at that time, no Germany yet, but the area of Prussia, they reach Jewish people. The brother who went to serve among the Jewish people in Hungary was named David Duncan. They called him Rabbi Duncan. And I see pictures of him. He's got a long beard. Mm-hmm. Not Jewish, but Rabbi Duncan. And Rabbi Duncan began reaching different people. And he particularly focused on a family. And that was the Saphir family. Mm-hmm. And he led Israel Saphir to the Lord, who's a Jewish businessman. And then they led his 18-year-old son to the Lord, Adolf Saphir. Mm-hmm. And Adolf Saphir became a well-known Christian theologian in Britain. And then they led his best friend to the Lord, and his name was Alfred Edersheim. Hmm. And Alfred Edersheim wrote The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah and so many other books, and is really the father of seeing the Bible through Jewish eyes.
Right. Yeah, he was part of that early, early turn back to rediscovering the Jewishness of Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he really led that charge. And so I saw that and, of course, got excited to see how that was followed through in the next number of centuries. And it looks like there were multitude of Jewish ministries that were started in the 1870s, 1880s, that eventually ended up reaching Jewish people throughout continental Europe. Mm. In 1809, there was an early one, the Church's Ministry Among the Jews, CMJ. And that was an evangelical Anglican mission to the Jewish people.
Yeah, they're still around.
And they're still around. Yeah. And they sent, in 1848, they sent Bishop Michael Solomon Alexander to Jerusalem. And he's the one who built the church at that's now called Christ Church.
Right.
And it's one of the oldest Jewish churches in the world.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing there too. And they have a wonderful little history basically of Jewish missions in Jerusalem and how God used them even in like the formation of the modern city of Jerusalem today, especially its Jewish presence there. It's amazing.
And they have the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew on the front.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust by Mitch Glazer uncovers a largely forgotten chapter of the 20th century, the dramatic rise and tragic destruction of Jewish missions in continental Europe before and during the Holocaust. Most readers associate European Jewish history of this era almost exclusively with the horrors of the Holocaust. Glazer does not minimize that catastrophe, but presents it as the defining event shaping modern Jewish consciousness. Yet this work also reveals what existed before the destruction, a vibrant and growing movement of Jewish people throughout Europe exploring and embracing faith in Jesus as Messiah. Glazer traces mission activity across Poland, Russia, Hungary, Romania, Germany, Austria, France, the Netherlands, and beyond. This book does not romanticize missionary efforts. Instead, it openly and honestly acknowledges failures, cultural insensitivity, and the damage done by anti-Semitism within so-called Christian societies. At the same time, nominal Christianity is carefully distinguished from the missionaries who genuinely loved, served, and sacrificed for Jewish communities during Europe's darkest years. Many Jewish believers in Jesus suffered and died alongside religious and secular Jews, but from the ashes emerged leaders who later helped shape the modern Messianic Jewish movement. Beginning June 23, 2026, you can order Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust on our online store. For those listening, you can sign up to receive the first chapter of the book for free on chosenpeople.com/radio. Also, if you would like to support the mission of Chosen People Ministries with a gift of $118 or more, you will receive a free complimentary copy of Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust. And we're recommending 118 because in Judaism, the number 18 stands for life, or the Hebrew word chai. And we want to invite you to be able to give a gift of life through the Messiah Jesus to the Jewish people. This book fills a major gap in modern mission history and deserves a wide readership among pastors, historians, theologians, and anyone interested in understanding the forces that shaped the modern Jewish world.
Then the Church of Scotland really grew its missionary force. CMJ had over 200 missionaries by World War I. The Church of Scotland had 120 missionaries, including a number of hospitals. And then you had many, many different missionaries. Russia was a hard nut to crack. And it was a hard nut to crack because the Orthodox Church was very opposed to Protestants. And so they were the church, the Orthodox Church. And so the Jewish missions pulled an end run, which I always admire. I'm a New Yorker. I always like a, you know, an end run. And what they did is they hired their missionaries out to the United Bible Society. So they were part of the Russian Bible Society, the Orthodox Church. Of course, what could they say if people were giving out Bibles? They had to be okay with that. And so these missionaries to the Jews brought the gospel by giving out Bibles in Jewish towns all throughout Russia, including Belarus. And you know, my grandparents were from Belarus.
Right.
And so could they have received Bibles from these missionaries from the Bible Society? Well, why not? And in Hungary and in Romania, the missions to the Jewish people started what we now call Messianic congregations. So these are Jewish, quote unquote, Jewish Christian churches, Messianic congregations, where I call it the church in a minor key. So they keep some of the Jewish traditions and the holidays, and they always focus on the person of Jesus. They met on Saturday. Some of these met also on Sunday. You know, people always ask me, what day should we meet on? I say, every day of the week. You know, every day is good to meet for the Lord. So there were these wonderful missionary groups that started during that time. And so it proliferated. And at the end of the day, when I read some a number of these mission manuals, there was a number that kept floating around. And I had to figure out if that was an accurate number. Now, some of it was based upon baptismal...
A number of Jewish people who
Jewish
come
people
to faith.
Came to faith.
Okay.
But it was based on baptismal registrations.
Gotcha, yeah.
In those days, particularly in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, if you became a believer in Jesus and you were Jewish and you got baptized, you had to re-register your religion with the Bureau
the
of Religion
yeah.
and the government.
Yeah.
You had to do it everywhere. Right. And so sometimes you could never tell the difference between people who did it insincerely or for convenience and people who did it because they were devoted and they wanted to come to know Jesus as Messiah. And so when you add up those numbers, some of the best figures that I was able to find was somewhere over 300,000 Jewish people had come to faith in Jesus prior to the Holocaust. And I began reading all of these missionary manuals in this light. And if you read the sweep of these reports, you can see the growth of the movement of the gospel among Jewish people, particularly between World War I and World War II. So before World War I, in Hungary or Romania or in Russia or in some of these countries, you would have seen maybe, 50 Jewish people coming to faith or 35 Jewish people coming to faith. And then once you hit the end of World War I and move your way into 1919 and 1920, you start seeing 1,000 Jewish people coming to faith.
Amazing.
And 1,200 Jewish people coming to faith. And by the time you're done and gone through all of these various reports from the missionaries on the field, you start seeing in 1 year, 2,000 Jewish people came to faith and 3,000 Jewish people came to faith. Were they all sincere and all true? How do I know? But I think they were, because there was usually 6 months of baptismal instruction, particularly by the Hungarian Reformed Church, by the Anglican Church, by the independent Jewish missions. Mm-hmm. Even Chosen People Ministries had missionaries in Poland and in other countries. And we were very strict about who we baptized. Mm-hmm. We were careful. And so I have no reason to doubt these numbers. Mm-hmm. And so they were in every country, and it was every mission. So almost every mission was seeing this growth in the Messianic movement between World War I and World War II. And you saw it late into the 30s, even when Nazism was becoming more virulent and horrific in their treatment of the Jewish people. Still, there were many Jewish people coming to faith. And we can learn a lot of lessons for this, and I'll hold back for another program. But one lesson I think we must learn right away is that when times are dark, when things are going wrong, people really do turn to God. Somebody once said to me, Mitch, your belief in Jesus is just a crutch. And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, someone said that to you too. And then my usual response is, you're right. But all of us need a crutch. All of us need to hold on to something in this life, because we need hope and we need strength. And hope and strength come through Jesus, the Messiah.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We're actually going to cut the conversation short right now, but we're going to pick it up again next week. Well, thank you so much for tuning in with us today here on The Chosen People. And we're very grateful that you're checking us out and that you're listening, and we would love to hear from you as well. So if you can, check us out online at chosenpeople.com/radio and fill out your information. You can send us an email. You can send us a message. If you would like to email us, the email address is radio@chosenpeople.com. You can also leave us a voicemail message. Just call this number, 914-288-1466. That's 914-288-1466. And you can leave us a voicemail message with a question or a compliment or even a complaint if you feel so led. Now, also, if you reach out to us, whether you send us an email or visit the website at chosenpeople.com/radio, we want to give you a copy of one of the chapters from Mitch's book, Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust. And we want to give that to you for free. So again, just check us out, chosenpeople.com/radio. Send us an email, radio@chosenpeople.com, or give us a call and leave us a message, 914-288-1466. So thank you so much again. God bless you. And now we're going to close things out with the Aaronic benediction.
Yevarechach Adonai v'yishmorech, ya'er ponav elech v'chunek, yisa Adonai ponav elech v'yisem lech shalom, v'yisem lech shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem Shel Yeshua HaMashiach. Sar Shalom. in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.